Seja bem-vindo a esta EM80 e está a ouvir o especial Beatles Legacy Red and Blue. Nos anos 60, era claro que poderíamos esperar o inesperado dos Beatles. Em 1968, começaram a trabalhar no sucessor do Sgt. Pepper e, num estilo muito próprio dos Beatles, tomaram uma, direção diferente com The White Album. Durante as várias sessões de gravação deste duplo LP, gravaram a música que viria a ser o single mais vendido nos Estados Unidos. E atenção! Ainda hoje é cantada em estádios um pouco por todo o mundo. A verdade é que Bob Seger não queria acreditar naquilo que estava a ouvir.
I was in Chicago in a parking lot when I heard Hey Jude. You know, it's like, you know, quit hitting me over the head with how great you are. I'm getting exhausted. You know, when I heard Hey Jude, it was like, you can't keep getting this much better. And we were always told, oh, you got to give like 10, 15 seconds for the radio guy to talk over the beginning, you know. But the effect of starting immediately with a voice just rips you right into the song.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better. Hey Jude, don't be afraid. You were made to go out and get her. The minute you let her under your skin, then you begin to make it better. And anytime you feel the pain,
quer saber o que Paul McCartney disse sobre Hey Jude? Vamos lá então.
I was playing It's John and Yoko, who were up in my music room. I said, I've got this new song, you know, John. And I was going through it, and I kept sort of giving little comments as I was going, you know, sort of do that, and sort of maybe put that in there, and maybe do this. And when I got to the bit, the movement you need is on your shoulder, I sort of looked over my shoulder, so I said, I'll fix that, don't worry. And I was going to carry on. He said, what? I said, and I stopped, well, wait a minute. I said, you know, the movement you need is on your shoulder. I said, it sounds like a parrot or something, you know. I said, a bit daft. He said, no. He said, don't touch that. It's just the best line, innit? And that was, see, one of the great things about John. I definitely would have ditched that line, because it just didn't seem to make sense to me. But his sense of the ridiculous and the surreal would be like, no. I know what it means, he said. Okay. So I left it in, you know.
And don't you know? Sad.
Se olharmos bem e profundamente na música Hey Jude, encontramos guitarras distorcidas já a anunciar a música de John Lennon, Revolution. John Lennon gostava do som da gravação em mono. No entanto, numa entrevista dada em 1974, mostrou alguma desilusão na forma como a música Revolution soava em estéreo, tal como ouvimos no disco Blue.
There's a difference between stereo and mono, obviously. And if you mix something in mono and then try and... It just... You lose the guts of it. You know, and a lot of them lost the... The fast version of Revolution was destroyed, you know. I mean, it was a heavy record, and then they made it into a piece of ice cream.
Agora remisturado em 2023 para a reedição do álbum Blue, Revolution explode nas suas colunas. Duvida?
You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. You tell me that it's evil. But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out? Don't you know it's gonna be alright? Alright. Alright.
No entanto, não tão impactante como Revolution foi, nessa altura houve outra canção que espelhava o que estava a acontecer no mundo. Foi escrita em forma de apoio na luta pelos direitos civis e pela igualdade racial nos Estados Unidos. Falamos de Blackbird, que acabou por ser incluída na lista da nova versão do álbum Blue. O jornalista norte-americano Rob Sheffield acrescenta:
Blackbird was always a song that people loved when they made it all the way through the White Album, but it was a deep cut at the time that the Blue Album came out. It wasn't the kind of song that would have been at all unnatural to include on it, but it's just become a standard. Part of it is just there's so much elemental Paul in it. We hear so much Paul empathy, we hear so much musicality, and of course, you know, now people know the backstory of why he was writing it, which he did talk about at the time, but people overlooked that part of it. It's a song that people just hear themselves in. It's really beautiful to see the afterlife of Blackbird, as that song just takes on a life of its own.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the line of a dark black.
Blackbird é hoje uma música extra no disco Blue. Quando o último disco que os Beatles gravaram, o Abbey Road, chegou às lojas, a cena musical estava diferente, fragmentada. O mundo mostrava interesse nas músicas pop ou então nas músicas que vinham de bandas ditas pesadas ou mais underground, como era o caso dos Led Zeppelin ou então Cream. Falamos também de Jimi Hendrix. David Epworth, jornalista e autor, lembra-se de ver o White Album e também o Abbey Road a passarem pelo meio de um caleidoscópio de estilos musicais.
I always applied completely different rules to the Beatles. They were the Beatles, you know. And there is no other group, either before or since, that has a fraction of the range of the Beatles. Just, there simply, don't bother going looking for one because there isn't one. And so you're used to the fact that a Beatles record would have all kinds of things in it. It would have extremes of varying kinds. You know, it would have the kind of abrasive, you know, I Want You, She's So Heavy, and then the kind of Octopus's Garden and Maxwell's Silver Hammer. And frankly, I liked them all equally. You know, I'd grown up with the Beatles. That's what the Beatles always did.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
Agora queremos saber a história por trás da música e pela voz de George Harrison.
Here Comes the Sun was the same period. We had meetings and meetings and with all this, you know, banks, bankers and lawyers and all sorts of things and contracts and shares. And it was really awful because it's not the sort of thing we enjoy. And one day I didn't come into the office. I just sort of, it was like sagging off school. And I went to a friend's house in the country. And it was just sunny, and it was all just the release of the tension that had been building up on me. And it was just really nice sunny day, and I picked up the guitar, which was the first time I'd played the guitar for a couple of weeks because I'd been so busy. And the first thing that came out was that song. It just came, and I finished it later when I was on holiday in Sardinia.
Here Comes the Sun has turned out to be one of the Beatles' most popular songs. It's flourished in the new world of streaming and in make-your-own playlist, so that everybody putting together their summer playlist, which everybody does nowadays, it's the opening song. Here Comes the Sun wasn't even a single at the time or anything like that. It's just a perfect beginning. And it also connects with that idea that it's always summer in Abbey Road. And it still is. It will be summer forever in Abbey Road. Even when everybody who had anything to do with it has gone, that will still be the sound of summer. That's a wonderful legacy.
Olá, mais uma vez, está a ouvir o especial Beatles Legacy Red and Blue comigo, Ana Moreira, na sua M80. Ora bem, Here Comes the Sun foi ouvida mais de 1 milhão de vezes, isto em 1969, quando as plataformas digitais que conhecemos hoje nem sequer existiam em filmes de ficção científica. Essa avalanche de sucesso da música acabou por abrir a porta para o segundo lado do LP Abbey Road. A primeira música no lado A foi Come Together. E qual era a opinião de John Lennon sobre ela?
It's one of my favourite Beatles tracks, I'd say that. Really, the kind of music I like. You know, it's funky, it's bluesy, and I'm singing it pretty well. And I like the sound of the record.
Mais sobre o tema com o olhar de Bob Seger.
You get to Abbey Road,
And Come Together is probably the funkiest song they ever did, and a great melody and lyrics that just make the rhythm of the song extraordinary. There's tremendous images there. He bagged production, he got Walrus Gumbo. I mean, Ono Sidebore, he won Spinal Cracker. Spinal Cracker, I mean, but it goes with the rhythm of the song so well. It's just so out there yet creative. And just the creativity in writing those lyrics, as strange and obscurely likable as they are, is just another facet of their genius.
Together é uma masterclass do que deve acontecer numa atuação rock, e estamos a falar da atuação de cada um dos quatro membros dos Beatles. Na sua base está o incrível baixo de Paul McCartney e também a bateria diferente de tudo o que se fazia na altura com a assinatura de Ringo Starr. Sobre isso, fala o produtor Mark Ronson.
His drumming and the fluidness of all those drum rolls and fills are like... I think that there was such an amazing way that he played, obviously, because he was a left-handed player playing on right-handed kit, and I think it was because of the way that the toms were set up that he kind of had that unconventional way of hitting the tom and that classic Ringo fill. And we reference that Beatles drum sound to death, like when we're in the studio setting up mics and doing that stuff.
E agora o olhar de jornalista e também autor David Epworth.
Something. The thing that strikes me about it is obviously George, but also the rest of them. It's Ringo's fantastically stately drums, which just give it that sense of gravitas. And Paul's bass. You could have given that song to 99% of groups, and it wouldn't have sounded anything like as impressive as the way it sounded.
Não se distraia, está mesmo a ouvir o especial Beatles Legacy Red and Blue na M80. Ora, poucos meses depois da música Something ter chegado ao topo da tabela norte-americana, a banda separa-se e, com isso, a ser notícia um pouco por todo o mundo. Isto estávamos em 1970, abril de 1970. Já em dezembro desse ano, ouviu-se John Lennon a cantar a música God e também a The Dream Is Over. Recordemos o que o jornalista musical Rob Sheffield tem a dizer.
Whole world heard them and said, "That's a great opinion to have. You can have that. We're not going to begrudge you that, but we don't care. We're just not interested in whether you think the dream is over or not, because the dream now belonged to us." And it's funny that when the Red and Blue albums came out in the 70s, there was so much public concern over people forgetting the Beatles. It's really weird how much that dominated the way adults spoke about the Beatles. Of course, we thought of the Beatles as a vibrant part of the 70s pop that we loved, and we thought, nope, they're still our favorites. And I always loved how in anthology in the 90s, when it definitely must have seemed like the end of the line, and Derek Taylor has that beautiful, beautiful phrase where he calls them the 20th century's great romance. And I loved that turn of phrase in 1995, and I love it now. But it's so funny because the 20th century was just the beginning. It's well into the 21st century now, and the Beatles are bigger and more popular now than they were then. The Beatles are more beloved than ever. The music just lives on.
Mas agora, 53 anos mais tarde, a música dos Beatles ainda vive. Temos a última música deles, Now and Then, que Giles Martin remisturou nesta edição dos 50 anos da coletânea Red and Blue.
They never make the record sound new. Obviously, they won't sound like Drake or they won't sound like Taylor Swift. That's not the point. But it'll make the band sound the age they are when they're playing it. It makes them sound vibrant and alive, and you hear them in the room. And my intent is inspire and give care and love and attention to the greatest musical legacy there's been in pop music. And, you know, with something like the Red and Blue album, and, you know, with Now and Then, it makes sense to combine those two things, because, you know, we're doing it in a way where we're really, you know, trying to give newer generations a way of opening their world to the world of the Beatles for the first time. And I was in my car with my daughter, who's 16 the other day, and on her playlist on Spotify, Yesterday came on. I looked at her and went, Yesterday? And she goes, Dad, you know, it's a really good song. You know, and so there you are. That's the thing. And so people can discover the Beatles for the first time.
Em uma celebração de seu nome, The Beatles Legacy Red and Blue, foi escrito pelo produtor Kevin Howlett. Eu sou a Ana Moreira, do meu lado na sonoplastia Nuno Caixeira. Obrigada por ter estado desse lado. Esperamos também que tenha gostado. Já sabe como é que isto funciona por aqui, não é? Os melhores conteúdos encontra na M80. Antes de irmos embora, um bocadinho de Paul McCartney e Ringo Starr.
I remember the joy, the talent, the humor, the love. If people remembered us for those things, I'd be very happy.
Still a lot of interest in those four boys.